Starting in January of this year and running through next week, we will have heard the entire first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Remember the introduction? He starts right off. He says this, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he just goes right into the Gospel. When we hear or read the Gospel, we tend to concentrate on only one individual, and that's Jesus himself. We do not pay attention to all the other people in the Gospel. And we're only going to look, and it helps to visualize those other people and who they are. So we're going to take a look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. This is important, I think, because each one of the individuals mentioned in the Gospel, and even as a group, is a person. Each has a history. Each has desires. Each has some pain. Each wants some degree of happiness. Each wants a degree of comfort. Each has goals and aspirations. So if you want to follow along, and you don't have to, we're going to start at page 910 of the Pew Bibles, but I would suggest don't follow along. What I did is I volunteered people. Remember the old line, the old military joke? There's 12 people lined up, and then there's 12 after that, and 12 after that, and 12 after that. And when the sergeant says, I have a dangerous mission, and I need 12 people to step forward, and rows 2, 3, and 4 all step back. So what I did today is I volunteered some people. So when your roll is called, if you would stand, and please stay standing. And I invite everybody to keep looking around the nave today as this goes on. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, talks about the proclamation of John the Baptist. And he starts out with the prophet Isaiah. So we need a prophet, and we need John the Baptist. And then we have people from the whole Judean countryside. And then all the people of Jerusalem. Oh, please stay standing. Please stay standing. And then in those days, she didn't want to do it. In those days, Jesus came forward. And then there was a spirit, and a voice came from the heaven. Then Jesus went out into the wilderness, and he was tempted by Satan and the wild beast, but an angel took care of him. Then we have Jesus, and he went and went along the Sea of Galilee and started to pick out his apostles. The first apostle was Simon, and then Simon's brother Andrew. Now, then he picked James. We don't have a James. And then his brother Andrew. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat. Now, understanding Zebedee did not just have sons to pass his business along to. He had a business because he had hired men. Now, in last week's gospel, we had Jesus went into the synagogue, and there were a number of people in the synagogue. They're all in back there. So you can look around. And there was a man with an unclean spirit. In today's gospel, we're going to have Jesus going into Simon's mother-in-law house. Then that evening, and believe me, this is nothing to do with any people here. All who were sick and possessed by demons came to Jesus, and the whole city was gathered around the door. Next week's gospel, we're going to have a leper coming to Jesus, begging him to be cured. And then after that, Jesus went and showed himself to the priest. And then what we have after that is Jesus said, go to the priest and talk about what Moses had commanded. We have Moses. And then all the people came to see him from every quarter. I thank you all. Appreciate it. Thank you. Today's gospel is Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 29. As soon as Jesus and the apostles left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, the apostles and disciples brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed by demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And Jesus would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said, Everyone is searching for you. Jesus answered them, Let us go to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. These are the words of Scripture. In today's gospel, we were told that Jesus went to the synagogue to worship his Father with his disciples, with his apostles. Then he left the synagogue and went to Simon Peter's house. And there was Simon Peter's mother-in-law with a bad fever. She couldn't even get out of bed. After Jesus cured her, the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went by himself to a desolate place to pray. I like the verb used by the author of Mark's gospel when he said the apostles hunted for him. That must have been one uninhabited and foreboding place that Jesus went to pray. So Jesus said, I've got a message. And what was that message? God's kingdom is at hand. It's not in the future. It's here now, just as it is for us now. A new covenant was in being. A new covenant was in process. And Jesus was so excited about his mission. So what did he do? He traveled throughout Galilee. He went to the synagogues and taught and preached. He cast out demons, and he did so with his 12 apostles and his disciples in tow. They saw what he did. They saw him pray. They heard him pray. They saw him at worship in a synagogue. They saw him heal. They heard him preach. They heard him explain his preaching. And they experienced who he was. They, while living with him, they experienced his character, his integrity, his total sense of mission. And except for Judas, their lives were devoted to him during his life on earth, and then they were immersed in Christ after they experienced his resurrection and ascension. So the question is, are we apostles and are we disciples? Are we called to teach and preach the message? Are we called to preach by every action we take and by every single word that we say? Paul says that he is judged. So the question would be as well, are we judged the same as Paul? Paul said, woe to him if he does not proclaim the gospel. And Paul was never ordained. Paul just had that experience of Christ in his life. So I don't think it means for us to grab a soapbox and go down to the village and start to preach. But I do believe that once we realize that the grace given to us to understand the gospel, and the gospel is Jesus himself, we are to proclaim and live God's kingdom. Look at parents. We already know that children do not pay attention to what parents say. Children pay a lot of attention to what parents do. And every parent knows this, and it's frightening because those little eyes are watching everything that you're doing, every move that parents and grandparents make. Little King Eddie, I have a little iPad, and you turn it on, and then you make a slide, and then the screen comes on. So literally, almost a year ago, 6 months ago, I was playing with the iPad with him. I've got a lot of children's programs on it. And all of a sudden, he just reaches and touches and shuts it off. And I said, Eddie, why did you shut it off? And he said, on. He puts his hand up on top, turned it on, the slide came on, and he slid it. I didn't want him to know that. He did it. He was watching. And that's frightening. Because we can tell somebody who's 7 years old and 11 years old and 16 years old, that's not what I want you to do. And all they're thinking is, but that's not what you do. Paul understood this. So Paul understood then what Jesus asks of us. Paul realized that he was entrusted with God's commission. And army officers are commissioned officers. Theologians, scripture theologians tell us that the community in Corinth was made up of a lot of army officers from the Roman legions. That this was a retirement community and a regular community, but for some reason army officers liked Corinth and they retired there. So when Paul was writing to them, he was talking their language. And he said, you have authority. Commissioned officers have an authority, but you also have a responsibility for those who report to you. And he says, I have a commission. I was given a commission. So the question that we have is, do you feel that you have been entrusted with God's word? Do you believe that you have been given the gift of the gospel? Do you believe that somehow Christ has commissioned you with authority and responsibility? Do you believe that you've been blessed by God to delve deeper into who the divine is? And do you believe that God's blessings have called you to a greater responsibility? Paul realized that that was true for him. And so he tells the Christians in Corinth that he is all to all. Now, what he's saying is, I'm adapting myself to whomever I meet. Not to give in to them, but to show them that I'm living, as he calls it, Christ's law. And what is the law of Christ? It is to live one's life so that you will lose it for the sake of the gospel. To live for the Father. To live for the Father's kingdom. Now, Jesus said, himself said, I was brought to preach the message. That's why I came here. I was brought in this world to preach the message, and that's what I must go out to do. I can't even stay in this town. I must go out to all of Galilee, and then eventually to Samaria, and eventually to Judea. What is the message of God? The true meaning of life. I don't believe that Jesus was a dour person. I think he had a great sense of humor, and I think he had a great wit, and I think he had a wonderful sparkle in his eye. But he had a focus, and his apostles experienced his motivation. And say, Jesus went out to pray. And what happened at that time is people remembered everything. I just found out there was a show on TV about the Quran. And it said that the Quran was not written until 20 years after Muhammad's death. It was memorized by all of his followers. The reason I mention that is because sometimes we hear that, well, the early Jews memorized the entire Old Testament, and the early Christians memorized a lot of the New Testament and Old Testament, and figure, well, you know, why would they do that? How could they do that? And I find out, well, this was the same for all the Mideast, is that these were people that could not read and write, and they had that power to memorize an entire book. And Jesus had that power. So what would have been one of the prayers that Jesus would have had? And I think one of them would have been the words of Isaiah today. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God. The Lord creator, the ends of the earth. The Lord God does not grow faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The Lord God gives power to the faint, and the Lord God strengthens the powerless. So in our everyday life, there's much that we can do quietly. We can pray, and prayer is so important because it is our connection with the divine. We can accept the commission given to us, for we are responsible for the blessings and powers given to us. There's a reason they've been given to us. And as Paul says, we can become weak to those who are weak. We can become faint to those who are faint. We can help the sick around us, those suffering from emotional problems, those suffering from physical problems, those suffering from loneliness. We can work, as Paul said to the Corinthians, to be all to all. What I think that meant for Paul was that he did not assert his ego onto another person, but rather he accepted who they were. He was not overbearing to them, not overbearing in his preaching, but accepted who they were. And he did all of this for the sake of Christ's gospel. And Christ's gospel, we know, can have a positive healing effect on all of us. When we look at Mark's gospel, just the first chapter, we can see how many people were enthused by him. The reason I asked people to stand up today is just to see, these are the people mentioned in just one chapter of Mark's gospel. Look at all the people that came to him, people from the entire Judean countryside, people from this community. The whole city was gathered there, and all the different people that he touched. And they would not have gone to him if he were a person that was not attractive to them and had a message for them. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to follow him. So when we look at the number of people that Jesus encountered and the number of people that wanted to be with him and then hear his message and see how he lived, the question would be is, how many people do you interact with, and how many people see your enthusiasm, and how many people say that's the result of your encounter with Jesus in the gospel? Amen. God, accept our gifts, accept who we are as we now.